Let's talk some NBA. Head to the Beltway. He's the host of Believe in Wizards, part of the great Believe Network. He writes for Bullets Forever, which dates back to my early days as a fan. His Twitter handle is at Matt Moderno. Please use two Ds. We welcome Matt in. Matt, thanks so much for joining us. How's life back there in the 443?
It's great. It's cold, but it's great. Could be a lot worse. The teams aren't great, so that would help us a little bit. But, yeah, I'm with you. It's finally basketball season.
You know, we've got a rule here. As a first-time guest, I like to get a little background. I saw you're a Terp, graduated Maryland. So, like, I'm a hardcore New York fan from Jersey, sure, dating back farther than I care to admit. What about you? Like, who were the teams and players that, I guess, got you to a point where you decided, you know, to pursue sports as a way to make a living?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've gotten a little lucky being in the D.C. area. You kind of have two options. You can pick primarily D.C. sports, or you can pick Baltimore sports. I grew up kind of right in the middle, so it's been better for me. I've been a Ravens fan my entire life, or at least their entire lifespan, so that's helped a little bit. If I had to root for all the D.C. teams, including the football team, that'd be a little bit tougher. But, yeah, I go Ravens, Orioles, and Wizards, unfortunately. So they were too cruel to give me a Baltimore option for that one.
Well, obviously, as someone from the state of Oregon now, 45 miles to the north, you eventually landed Adley Rutschman from Oregon State. So that's a neat little connection.
He's been great.
After last season, as far as the Wiz go, wasn't a horrible year. 35 wins, but kind of a reworking. The Porzingis trade, the Bradley Beal deal, a new front office boss in Michael Winger. They drafted Bilal Coulibaly, 7th overall. So heading into this season, Matt, realistically, what were your expectations, I guess maybe before the wheels started to wobble?
We knew they were going to be bad. It had been a long time coming. I think this was probably one of the rare times in sports where, like, fans were very excited to see a total teardown. The Wizards had been kind of right in the middle for, I don't know, honestly, the last 30 years, basically. Like, a few better swings here and there, a few down swings here and there. But the last couple years, specifically with the Beal-led teams, you know, when you're just basically striving for that play-in spot, that's just not where you want to be in sports. So I think the commitment to tearing it down, starting fresh, you know, that's really the way you want to go and try to start from the beginning here. The unfortunate thing for the Wizards is they waited probably 2 years too late to trade someone like Beal. So, best case, they were just trying to get off the contract. And, I don't know, some of the pick swaps and things they got from Phoenix might actually be worthwhile in the long run. But you didn't start with, like, this war chest of assets to accelerate a rebuild. So, I think we knew we were in for kind of the long haul here. And it's been especially dire, you know, in terms of even from a rebuild perspective. I think the Vegas line before the year was 24.5. I was pretty confident they'd be over that, like still in the 20s. Like, I'm not crazy enough to think they were a playoff team or anything like that, but I thought like a 26, 27 win team would be doable just given the guys they had. I thought they'd get a very different Jordan Poole, and candidly, he's been bad for most of his time in Washington. So that I didn't see coming.
Talking with Matt Moderno, Believe in Wizards. So some were surprised with a strong record that Milwaukee fired their rookie coach, Adrian Griffin, after 43 games. The Wiz canned Wes Unseld after, 43 games. So aside from that numerical coincidence, you see some connections, maybe some parallels?
You know, both of these guys were pretty well thought of as assistant coaches, and you don't get to be well thought of as an assistant coach if you're an idiot or you don't know basketball. So that there's obviously something there technically, and I think the similarity there is just really in the messaging and the buy-in. And I do my podcast with former Wizard and 7-year NBA vet Jihadi White, and, you know, the thing he said about Wes Unseld was, you know, he knows his stuff. It just must sound better coming out of somebody else's mouth. And I really think that that seems to be what happened with Griffin, too. They just, from the start, didn't seem to be bought in. You had this weird sort of scenario with he and Terry Stotts, and Stotts having to move on as an assistant early in the year because they couldn't sort of, peacefully coexist, and maybe there was some territorial stuff there. And then you heard stuff about, like, the veteran players calling the plays down the stretches of games, and sort of overruling Griffin on stuff. And I think guys are just sometimes better suited to be that assistant and come up with stuff and not have to be kind of the captain of the ship. And I think that really kind of seemed to be the case for both guys there.
Yeah, some guys are destined to be coordinators and not head coaches. Yep. And, of course, yeah, a little north of you on I-95, you have the 76er dilemma. And off of an MVP season, Joel Embiid has been playing great. I mean, guys averaging a point a minute, career high in assists, great rebounder. But now this meniscus injury. So beyond the new games limit, which I want to talk to you about, how close are we to just maybe crossing the Sixers off the contenders list?
You know, I thought this was a team that was really built for, like, a playoff run. I think Maxey's sort of growing as a player every year and growing as the year goes on. And Embiid just looked kind of even next level from last year. Like, he was largely unguardable, and he's just given the ball 15 feet from the hoop, and you just kind of let good things happen to you. So it was pretty simplified, and seemed like they had the right mix of role players. Obviously, their record isn't the best of the Eastern Conference teams after the little skid recently here. But I just thought that was a team that was going to cause a little trouble. You've got this unrest with the Bucks. I don't know that I fully trust the Celtics. Honestly, this group just seems to, I don't know, if it's 2-2 in a Eastern Conference Finals or something, I think I might trust Embiid, honestly, even given some of the playoff struggles from him, more than I trust a Tatum-Brown combo. So I thought they could make some noise. And honestly, I thought they would kind of dictate how the playoffs go, just because if you've got to play them and then play Milwaukee or then play Boston, you're going to be in a war with Philly trying to guard Embiid, trying to stay in front of Maxey. So even if they didn't win, I thought they'd really take it out of whoever they played. And then that obviously benefits the other team that doesn't have to play them along the way. So him not being there is going to be a really big question. Like, we don't know what the meniscus situation is. If it's a full tear, he's probably done for the year, I would think. If they can get in there and maybe just clean some of the stuff up a little bit, maybe it's a few weeks only. So I think, the state of his cartilage there really dictates what kind of happens in the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Yeah, in limbo for now. And, of course, it's year one with this new 65-game minimum to qualify for major awards. I love it because you look at, Paul George, Porzingis, Anthony Davis, who historically miss a lot of time. And as cold as it is, if you can't be out there consistently, your value is limited. So kind of a two-parter, what was your thought when the new rule was announced? And what do you think now seeing it season one in practice?
It's funny. I felt like the reaction was overwhelmingly pretty positive from what I saw. This is my little echo chamber of stuff, and Wizards are years away from having anybody that could be considered for that kind of award. So maybe that stilts our viewpoint a little bit here. But I thought it was a reasonable choice. Like, I don't know how they got 65. I would have said maybe you go 62 is the number. That's a little closer to three quarters of the season at that point. But I do wonder, when you get into a situation like if Embiid plays exactly 64 games and he's clearly the best player in the league at the end of the year, I'm not saying he is, but like if you think that, it's not going to go over well, especially with players. You're going to hear a lot about it from overall NBA media, and they can't really skirt that rule. Like, if they made an exception for a guy who played 63, 64, where do they draw the line there? Is there a waiver process? So I think the NBA's kind of backed themselves into a corner a little bit here. Hopefully, there's plenty of other good candidates, so it's not that big a deal. But you look at, the all-NBA teams, if you've got to start to leave some of these guys off, and then the third-team all-NBA ends up being a bunch of guys that are fringe all-stars, it just sort of waters down what some of these awards really stand for. So I think that's going to be interesting just to see how this plays out longer term. But it might get a little, dicey for the NBA here if some of these better named guys, like if Jokic misses a couple weeks here and Giannis misses a couple weeks and they're all around the 63 game mark and they're the three clearly best guys, like, what do you do?
we may have our first ever default MVP.
Yeah, exactly.
Played enough games. A couple final thoughts for Matt Moderno, host of Believe in Wizards, part of the Believe Network. So I was 12 the last time the Knicks won the title. I now have a 10-year-old grandson. I know Brunson's been great. They play defense. Now the Randall injury. So for sanity's sakes, what should be my level of hope that the Knicks can make a real run in the East?
I mean, I think this is probably like an Eastern Conference Finals kind of team. I don't know if they can get through all of these good teams in a row. So I think seeding is really important for them and getting the right matchups. I do think they're probably like a little more susceptible to an upset than maybe the Bucks or Celtics would be in like a first round or something like that. But they're good. They're just really solid. They seem to beat the teams that they need to beat. If I were them, I would look for maybe one more scoring presence. It's just they rely so much on Brunson offensively. And at the end of the day, he's still a smaller, not overly athletic guard. When these guys really lock in around him, you know, Ananobi's been really good, and he's playing a crazy amount of minutes right now, but he's not like a go-get-his-own-offense kind of guy. So I just think that they seem like maybe they're one piece away, but you could also probably say that about half the NBA at this point.
You heard it here first, folks. Matt Moderno says the Knicks must get LeBron James.
And that helps.
You know, as somebody who's obviously wired into the league, follows it as closely as you do, we've seen the Celtics, you mentioned them, they were invincible at home, no more. The Bucks changed coaches, they struggle defensively. In the West, the T-Wolves and OKC are talented but young. Denver's still there. Right now, do you have any lean on who you see as, you know, as we sit here on Groundhog Day, the true contenders are 50 games in?
I think just exactly what you hit on is what I was kind of going through mentally here just over the last couple days. The Clippers were in town here in D.C., and Paul George didn't even play. And they just looked so impressive. But do you trust them? And I feel like this is the year where like there's more question marks with all of the contenders than I can kind of ever think of. You could kind of pick out one like major red flag with any of these teams. The Clippers, it's health and load management, you know, if that's really a health issue. And just will these guys all peacefully coexist all the way through a playoff run? That makes me a little nervous, I would think. But the team I kind of question the least, I think, is probably the best way to look at it, is Denver. It's just hard to bet against them. And seemed like in the playoffs last year, there was another gear they could go to when they needed to. And a lot of times we've seen this where sometimes a team wins a title and then they come back for the regular season and they look a little flat or listless at times. I think maybe that's been the case with Denver a little bit of the year so far. So come playoff time, I think they're the horse I would probably most likely back.
Folks, he's Matt Moderno. Check out the Believe in Wizards podcast on the Believe Network. Always great information. You can link it from his Twitter handle, at Matt Moderno. Matt, hey, great having you. Really appreciate your time. Be well. Have a terrific weekend, and I definitely look forward to talking again down the road.
All right, yeah, enjoy the basketball week.
All right, have a good one, Matt.